everyone to our service this morning, and if we have visitors with us, a special welcome to you. It is a beautiful day that God has blessed us with. We have just celebrated Christmas a few weeks ago, and it seems a long, long time ago, but it is not very long. And I hope everyone had a very Merry Christmas and a blessed start to the new year. And I would like to welcome you with the words we find in Ephesians, where Paul writes, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you have blessed us with. We thank you for the privilege and the honor that we had the opportunity to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this morning that we have the opportunity of being in your house, where we can worship you, we can sing, we can pray, and we can learn from the scriptures that you have given us. And we ask that your presence will be with us this morning. You lead us in our prayers and our thoughts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nummer 600 saßen taunt ich. Licht vom Licht erleuchte mich.
Ich vom Licht erleuchte mich bei dem frühen Tageslichte. Gnadensonne, stelle dich für mein munteres Angesicht. Baune mir mit Glanz bei, dass mein Sabbat heilig sei. Brandquell aller Süßigkeit, lass mir deine Ströme fließen. Mache Mund und Herz bereit, dich in Andacht recht zu küssen. Streu das Wort mit Segen ein, lass es hundertfrächtig sein. Zünde selbst das Opfer an, das auf meinen Lippen liegt, sei mir Weisheit, Licht und Bahn, dass kein Irrtum mich betrüget und kein fremdes Feuer brennt, welches dein Altar nicht kennt. Lass mich heut und alle Zeit heilig, heilig, heilig singen und mich in die Ewigkeit mit des Geistes Flügel schwingen. Gib mir einen Vorschmack ein, wie es mag im Himmel sein.
Sieh und klag mit Angst und Schmerzen, um Feier hat nicht nähen. Sorry, I announced the wrong song. Was mein Gott will, das geschehe, Nummer 313.
Was mein Gott will, das geschehe allzeit, sein Will, der ist der Beste, zu helfen, den er ist bereit, die an ihn bleiben feste. Er hilft uns nur, der fromme Gott, und sich die mit Maßen, wer Gott vertraut, fest auf ihn baut, den will er nicht verlassen. Gott ist mein Trost, mein Zuversicht, mein Hoffnung und mein Leben. Was mein Gott will, was mir geschieht, will ich nicht widerstreben. Sein Wort ist wahr, denn einmal er selber hat gezählt. Er hielt und wacht es für uns tracht, auf das uns gar nichts fehlt. Drum will ich gern von dieser Welt hinfahren nach Gottes Willen. Zu meinem Gott, wenn's ihm gefällt, will ich ihn haben stelle. Mein Arm, mein Seil, ich dir beifehl, in meinen letzten Stunden, O frommer Gott, in Hell und Tod, hast du mir überwunden. Noch eins, Herr, will ich bitten dich, du wirst mir's nicht verjagen. Wenn ich der Weise Geist anfäch, lass mich doch nicht versagen. Hilf schon und wehr, ach Gott, mein Herr, zu ihr in deinem Namen. Wer das begehrt, dem wird's gewährt, drauf sprech ich freilich
Und wir in Matthew, erste Kapitel, lesen dann ein Lesen von Jesus in Geburt. Wir lesen, wo die Engel und Mary und Joseph kamen und sie zu Ant, dass Jesus wird von Ant geboren sein. In der zweite Kapitel lesen wir von der Weise, wo sie nach Jerusalem kamen und fragen, wo ist dein Wort? Die König von den Juden geboren ist. In Lukas Kapitel 2, da lese ich auch, da war er von Jesus wie geboren. Wir lesen von Mary und Joseph, wo sie in Bethlehem gingen und aus der Dorf wären dann wie das Kind geboren. Aber nur dort, nur sind geboren, lesen wir sehr wenig von Jesus Christus aus der Abwesenheit. Anders als er 12 Jahre alt war, dann lesen wir, weil Mary und Joseph an Jerusalem nehmen für die Passover. Aber dann in Matthäus Kapitel 3, du hast Jesus auch groß gewesen, du lest, wie wir hier gebaptized wart von John the Baptist. Und als er von der Bora rückkam, dann kam ein Stern vom Himmel, und in der 17. Vers in Matthäus Kapitel 3, sagte der Stern, der seht, dies ist mein lieber Sohn, an welchen ich wohlgefallen habe. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Dann in Lukas Kapitel 3, da lese ich Vara von Jesus seine Taufe, also Jesus seine Baptism. In Vers 21, Lukas Kapitel 3, dort lese ich Vara von seiner Taufe. Und dort sagt er, als Jesus ist getauft ward und gebaptized ward, dann kam er mit der Wutter rüht, er hat beten. Und dann wieder ein Stern vom Himmel, der sagt, du bist mein lieber Sohn, an dir habe ich wohlgefallen. Vers 22. You are my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And then the next verse sagt er, Jesus, wie dadurch, you are alt. Kurz nach seinem Baptism wird Jesus in der Wüste niedergelegt, und dort wird er versucht von dem Teufel. Und das lesen wir in Matthäus Kapitel 4 und Lukas Kapitel 4. Aber dann checkt er den Teufel weich, und dann sagt er in Matthäus Kapitel 4, 17. Vers, dann fängt er an zu predigen, und er sagt, tut Bussi, denn das Himmelreich ist nahe hierbei gekommen. Auf Englisch heißt es, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Und mir ist immer mit interessant, das erste Ding, was er sieht, als er fängt an zu predigen, ja, tut Bussi, repent. Und das ist ein sehr wichtiges Wort von dem Evangelium, was Jesus uns bringen lässt. Und dann sagt er auch in Matthäus Kapitel 4, wo er ging in das ganze Land und predigt das Evangelium zu all die, die nur ankommen, zu horchen. Und wenn wir nur Lukas Kapitel 4 gehen, nur dass er hat den Teufel weggeschickt, da sagt er, dann kam er nur die Stadt, wo er wie abgewachsen. Und er saß in der Farsch an Lukas Kapitel 4. Da sagt er, er kam nur Nazareth. Und als es der Sabbat war, oder der Sinnund, dann ging er in die Synagoge. Und wir würden am Sinnund nicht nur in die Synagoge gehen, oder die Kirche. Wir haben uns da, was wir in die Kirche fahren, am Sonntag. Aber zu der Zeit wird es noch einmal der Sabbat. Aber dort kam mir der Zeit zu eng, und dann war das Sonntag. Aber Jesus ging nur die Stadt, wo er abgewachsen ist. Er ging nur die Stadt, wo er immer wieder am Sabbat gewachsen ist. Und er sagt in dieser Vers, in diesem Kapitel, er ging nur die Synagoge, dass er dort gewarnt wird. Und er stand ab zum Lesen. Und das wisst uns, dass er ein Port nehmen wird und dort war der Ferien am Sonntag, am Sabbat. En hij was aan wat een boek geeft, het boek Isaiah. En hij maakt dat boek op en hij vangt om te lezen. En hij deed van zichzelf lezen. Hij deed lezen wat Isaiah heeft geschreven van wat hij wil doen. Hij zelf wil doen. In 18 vers zegt het, de geest die Heer, hij vangt om te lezen en hij las, de geest van den Heeren is op me. Die heeft me gewählt. Op Engels is het woord, he has been anointed. I have been anointed. Op het Deutsch is het, hij heeft me gewählt. De geest van God heeft hem gewählt. En voor wat heeft de geest hem gewählt? Want wanneer we aan Jezus denken, dat waarom hij nu deze eerd is gekomen, het eerste denk wat ons bevallen deed is Johannes 3, 16. God had zo'n leven voor de wereld wat hij merkt had, dat hij schickt zijn zin op de eerd, dat hij kon om Christus worden geneld, dat hij voor onze zinden kon sterven. En dat is een part van het evangelium wat Jezus brengen deed. Zo wenn wir lesen dann, wenn Jesus sagt, ich sie gewählt, das erste Ding, was er sagt, für was er wie gewählt, ist, die Arme das Evangelium zu bringen. Und das ist ein Part von Jesus in dort auf dem Kreuz, die Auferstehung und das alles, was alles wie ist. Das ist Part von dem Evangelium, was er fängt an zu predigen. Und der Wort, was er sieht, als er anfängt zu predigen, in Matthäus 4, 17, wo er sagt, tut Bussi, das ist auch ein Part von dem Evangelium, was er bringen wird, all die Menschen, die kommen, nur am Herzen. Und er sagt, in Vers 23, er sagt in Vers 18, ich sie gewählt, die Arme das Evangelium zu bringen. Und das ist ein bisschen interessant, warum wird er sagen, die Arme? Wollt ihr, was nicht arm sind? Wenn ich zurückdenke an meine jüngere Dinge, als ich abwassen nicht, ich muss einfach sagen, meine Eltern wären arm. Und ich glaube, die von ihnen waren auch weiten, was das meint, arm sein. Das meint, was nicht haben. Wir hatten nicht Geld, aber wir haben abends nicht, dass wir können beten. Ja, wir hatten nicht Essen am Tisch, aber wir hatten nicht nicht, um uns an Ort zu kommen. Wenn wir ans Kleider fehlten, die wir dann an Tischen mit den Obersch. Sie haben dann mit dem Ewigen und wir tischten dann tragen, dann haben wir Kleider. Aber das ist nicht die Arme. Das ist nicht, was Jesus hier davon reden wird, wenn er sagt, die Arme. Hier redet er von denen, die am geistlichen Arm sind. Und keine Hoffnung haben in der Ewigkeit. Die haben bloß nichts. Und das ist ein bisschen interessant, weil ich habe mehrmals in Begrafenen gehabt. Das letzte, was ich habe, dann frage ich, wo ist das Mensch geblieben, was nie gestorben ist? Wenn der keinen Glauben hat, wenn der Jesus Christus nicht kennt, dann wird er sehr arm sein. Und sie hat nichts. Wenn wir nicht Jesus Christus an uns fort haben, wir sterben dann haben wir nichts. Und was wird dann, wenn wir sterben dann? Dort ist im Geistlichen sehr arm. So Jesus ist gekommen, die Arme, die nicht im Glauben haben, das Evangelium zu predigen. Sondern was ich die Arme sind die, die sich ganz auf Gott machen, verloren für ihre Seligkeit. Und bedarf ihr mal das erste Denk, was Jesus von Reden denkt, wenn er sagt, ich sie gewählt. Der zweite Denk, was er sagt, für was haben wir gewählt. Damit ein gebrochenes Herz zu heilen. Wie viele Menschen sind da, die ein sehr schweres Leben haben? Die haben so ein schweres Leben, die können das meist nicht verdrehen. Und das kann für verschiedenste Sachen sein. Aber Jesus sagt hier, er ist für dich gekommen, die ein sehr schweres Leben haben. So schwer, dass der Herz das meist verbrennt. Aber er kommt dort, er wird das heilen. Das ist er kann das. Das dritte Ding, was er hier sagt, für was er gewählt wird, der Fast genommen zu predigen, dass sie kein frei werden davon und los werden davon. Der Fast genommen. Wer sind die, die Fast sind an Wort? Wer sind die, die gebungen sind? Und an Wort sind die gebungen. An Wort sind die so schwer. So, eure Bungen. Aber was Jesus von Reden, der hier ist, und wie an so Bungen sind, was euch ist. Ganz euch. Was die Schrift uns sagen, dass das ist euch, und ihr seid Bungen an dort. Und was wird das sein? Well, ein Ding ist, auf ganz. Auf Englisch würde er sagen, Jealousy. Und das ist nicht bloß ein, das ist eins mit einem sehr wichtigen Ding. Ich habe gesehen, wo aufgangs das ganze Leben kann nehmen und die ganze Familie kann zweibringen, der Wehen. Ich würde auch auf Englisch sagen. I have seen Jealousy control people. Totally. And the family is totally broken because of it. That's Afghans. They sind so gebungen on that Afghans, they can sich, da werden sich meist nicht rot im Herz. Aber Jesus ist gekommen und loswerden davon. Und da sind auch andere Dinge. Alkohol ist eins, Drugs ist ein anderes. Und eins, was einer nicht will von reden, eins mal ist Pornography. Wir sind gebungen an dort eins mal. Und Jesus ist gekommen von so einer Dinge ans Lust zu mir an. Das vierte Ding, was er gewählt ist, ist, dass der Blinde sein kann. Der, was im Geistlichen blind sind, er bringt uns, er hat das Evangelium gebracht, dass sie sein kann. Was reich ist, was arreich ist. Dass sie nicht mehr wollen und verlangen haben, dass zu tun, was arreich ist. Dass sie im Geistlichen nicht mehr blind sind. Und Jesus ist gekommen, dass sie sich selbst kann sein, oder wie uns selbst kann sein, dass was wir tun, ist arreich und wir dort tachloten und im Geistlichen nicht mehr blind sind. Und das letzte Ding, was er gesagt hat, für was er gewählt wird, und die, was ungedreckt sind, dass die frei sind davon. Ungedreckt, meint auf Englisch ist das Wort bruised, sei er verschleuern. Nicht bloß einem sein lief, aber sondern was ein sehr schweres Leben haben gehabt, was sie sich meist nicht rot weiten damit. Und andere haben und so eine Dinge eingetan, was nicht reich ist, was sehr schwer ist. Und Jesus ist gekommen, der frei war, im Merken von so einer Dinge, was so schwer sind. Als Jesus das gelesen hat, Dann sagt er, hei mjukt hei dat mjukt tau. Efter trygg nu de deina, vart amere hadden je geeft. Er sagt er sich dol, und in Vers 20 sagt er, alle Juden kickten nur arm. Dann seht er, von der sind diese Wied erfällt. Als er anfangen deid, dann sagt er zu ihm, nu ist das Evangelium, was ich will bringen, sind erst dort erfällt. Der ich arm. Jo, Jesus sagt, er will gewählt, das Evangelium zu bringen. Er will gewählt, am Christ zu sterben. Er will gewählt, den dritten Tag abzustehen. Aber er ist auch, wie auch gewählt, die zu heilen, die in Gebrauch nicht gehört haben. Die wird gebungen werden und unrechte Dinge losmachen davon. Die wird am Geistlichen blind sein, dass sie sein können. Und die wird sehr bedreckt sein, wenn ihr schwere Leben, dass sie kein loswerden davon. Für seine Dinge wie Jesus gewählt. Aber gerade zu denken ist, dass er wie gewählt, dass er sein Leben kann geben, dass wir unsere Sünden können loswerden. Nun, eben nur der zweite Halbgrund von uns Andach von Nils Maris. Wir haben nach allem nur Gott gehen im Gebet, so der wird kein Kern, wir haben uns alle am Stellen Gebet für Gott handknien. Der Herr hört an Sie beten und sei euch gnädig.
Take the red book and turn to number 294. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Number 294, can we stand? Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow?
tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighting? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
As I talked in my first message about Jesus being given a book of Isaiah, and he read in that book about himself. Well, I'm not going to read the same verses that Jesus read, but I want to read one verse from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 25, verse 9. It says, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This verse talks about waiting for the Lord. And Isaiah has written this, and he is saying that there will come a time when people will say, we have waited for him, and we rejoice in his prophecy, in his salvation. And it is a prophecy from the book, from the prophet Isaiah, where he talks about the time when Jesus will be born. Now, it was written about 700 years before Jesus was born, but what it says in this verse, we can say as well. Some parts of it. It says, he will save us from our sins, and we can say that as well. We can say, he is the Lord. And we can also say, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. But what we cannot say is that we have waited for him. Because we have not waited for him, because he was born before we were born. We don't have to wait for him. He is available to us, and we can rejoice in that fact. There is nobody here that was born before he was. He was born long before anyone here, and all we can say is he is there, and we can accept him. But at the time of Jesus' birth, people knew about this prophecy. They knew what the prophets had written. And when Jesus was born, they could say, we have waited for him, because we knew that he was coming, because the prophet Isaiah said so. And now we can rejoice. Now, when we read in Luke chapter 2, we read all about Jesus' birth, and I'm not going to go over through all those details because I'm sure you've heard them over the Christmas time. But we also read how after he was born, he was taken to the temple and presented to the Lord. And there was two people that were in the temple that had been waiting for his birth. One was a man called Simeon, and the other was a woman called Anna. Now I want to talk a little bit about they were in the temple when Jesus was brought to be presented to the Lord. If we go to Luke chapter 2, verse 21, first of all it says, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So 8 days after Jesus' birth, he was circumcised and he was given his name. The name that the angel told Mary and Joseph to give him. And we read that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, where the angel came to Joseph and said, you are to call his name Jesus. Then in verse 22 of Luke chapter 2, it says, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, when it talks about the day of her purification, I'm not going to go into detail of that, but we find that written in Leviticus chapter 12, where it talks about the law of Moses, that God gave to Moses. And there it tells them exactly how many days after a child's birth, if it is the first child of the male child of the family, they are to take him to the temple when he is 40 days old and present him to the Lord. And that's what Mary and Joseph did. And this was the law, and it says it was according to the law of Moses. And this was the law that the Jews lived by, and it taught them what this law did. It taught them right from wrong. It taught them about God, and it also taught them what God expected of them. And this was to the chosen people that God had chosen. But most importantly, this law pointed directly to the coming of Jesus Christ. And it is prophesied many times in the Old Testament, and especially in the book of Isaiah, that the people were waiting for the birth of this child. After Jesus came, this law was no longer required. But what is interesting is this law was only given to the God's chosen people, the people that we know as the Jews, and originally they were called the Hebrews. It did not apply to the Gentiles or the non-Jewish people. They did not apply to them, and they did not know anything about it. But they saw that God's chosen people had this law, and they also saw that because of that law, these people had a God that they worshipped. But after Jesus came, that law was done away with, and Jesus Christ became available to everyone regardless of his nationality. Now, I would just like to read some verses in Galatians chapter 3, where it talks about what the law was for. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? And then it says, it was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. The purpose of the law was because of sin, but it was promised to the, it was only till the seed came to those to whom it was promised, and the seed is Jesus Christ. So the law was only there until Jesus came to those to whom he was promised. And the scriptures also tell us, after he was crucified and resurrected, he was promised to everyone. Everyone in the whole world had access to this man called Jesus Christ. In verse 24, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." And then in verse 25, "After that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And then in verse 21, it addresses the fact that it was given first to the Jews, and then after Jesus' resurrection, it was also available to everyone. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." So there's just a few words about the law. But after Jesus came, there was no longer a need for the law, and there is no longer any differentiation between different nationalities of people. He was available to everyone. Now, what I find interesting also, Jesus came from God. He was conceived through the Holy Spirit, as it says in Matthew 1:20. But he was born as any other child was born. And in spite of the fact that he came from God, in spite of the fact that eventually he did away with the law of Moses, yet Mary and Joseph obeyed the law to the letter. Whatever was written in the law, Mary and Joseph obeyed it. And that's why they went to the temple to present him to the Lord. Jesus became a normal human being in spite of the fact that he was conceived through the Holy Spirit. So if we go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 23, again it says, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said of the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Part of them presenting Jesus to the Lord when he came to the temple, they also had to offer a sacrifice. And in this case, it could either be two turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that had to also was according to the law. When you went to the temple to worship, you had to come and offer a sacrifice. After Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead, that was no longer necessary because he became the sacrifice for our sins. So when Jesus was 40 days old, he was taken to the temple to be presented to the Lord, and there's a man there called Simeon and a woman called Anna waiting for him. Verse 25, it says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." So here's a very a just man. He was devout. He was waiting for what Isaiah had promised. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And then it says in verse 26, and this I find almost impossible to believe, but you have to believe it because it is written. "It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." How many people received such a promise that they would not die until they had physically seen Jesus Christ being born? Not too many. And how it was revealed to this man that he would not die before he had seen that child, it's amazing. But the Spirit had revealed that to him. But what is also interesting, this man was called Simeon, and people who have studied biblical history are of the thinking that he was the father of a man called Gamaliel. Now, who is Gamaliel? Well, if you read in Acts chapter 22, and I want to read a couple of verses there. In Acts chapter 22, we read about the Apostle Paul. And he tells us that, the Apostle Paul tells us he was educated by a man called Gamaliel. And that is rather interesting. Paul was educated by a man called Gamaliel, and what did he do with that information that he was taught? Well, in chapter 2 of Acts, first of all, he says, "I was taught at the by a man called Gamaliel. I was zealous towards God, and what did I do there with that information that he was taught? I persecuted this way unto the death. He persecuted anyone who believed in Jesus Christ unto the death. He put them in prison, and many of them died. Now, what I find interesting is, did Gamaliel approve of what Saul, of Paul was doing? It does not tell us. But he taught him about the law. And he taught him to be zealous towards God. Yet he persecuted anyone who believed in this child that the father of Gamaliel is holding in his hands in Luke chapter 2. He persecuted anyone who believed in that child. But we also know that on the way to Damascus, Paul was converted and he became one of Jesus Christ's best apostles, or most influential disciples. But when Simeon saw Mary and Joseph coming into the temple with this child, it tells us in verse 27 that he took him in his arms, he blessed God, and said, it says, he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He took this child and says, he blessed God, and he said, now, Lord, I can die in peace. I have seen the salvation that came from God. He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he's talking to God. What a blessing that would have been to see a child that came for our salvation. Then in verse 32 to 35, Simeon talks about what will happen to Mary and to Jesus and Mary. Verse 32, he says, Jesus will be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. And then he says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So what does Simeon say here? First of all, he says, Jesus will be a light in a dark world. And if we want to read how dark the world was, we have to do is read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, where he says Jesus was born because the world was a very dark place. It was so full of sin, yet this child was born. And it talks up there about people walking in darkness. But then in verse 34, it says, many people will fall because they will reject the gospel that he has to offer. And we know that happens every day. The gospel is free, it is there, it is available, but people just seem to reject it. And if you mention Jesus Christ, they just say, we want nothing to do with that. I personally know people who have just said, oh no, that's just a bunch of fairy tales, I want nothing to do with it. They are totally spiritually blind and they refuse to change. That's very sad, especially when it's family members. But then Simeon continues. First of all, he says, some will reject it, but many will rise by accepting that gospel. Then he also says, the gospel will be spoken against as it is today. Many places, if you mention the gospel, if you mention Jesus Christ, it is spoken against, vehemently sometimes. But in spite of that, no one can stop the gospel from being spread. Then in verse 35, Simeon tells Mary what she will have to accommodate. He said to her, "A sword will pierce through your soul." If we go to John chapter 19, verse 25, we read where Jesus is hanging on the cross. And who is standing? Sorry, John chapter 19, verse 25. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He has just been crucified, but he's still alive. And who is standing at the cross, watching? In verse 25, it says, "There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene." Who is the first one that's mentioned here? Jesus' mother stood there watching her son being nailed to the cross in spite of the fact that he had done absolutely nothing wrong. He was totally innocent of all the crimes that he was convicted of. But she saw him being rejected, tortured, crucified. And as he is hanging on the cross, Jesus talks to his mother. Verse 26, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son." He says, "Mother, there's a disciple there. I want you to note who he is." "Then saith he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." So Jesus looked after his parent, his mother, as he was dying on the cross, to make sure that she had a safe place where someone would look after her. And after he had spoken, the disciple that was standing there took Jesus' mother into his home and looked after her. Now, did Simon know what would happen to Jesus when he told Mary, "A sword will pierce through your soul"? I think he did, because he was a devout man, he was just. He would have studied the scriptures. He would have read the book of Isaiah. He would have known the Old Testament prophecies. And what does it say in Isaiah chapter 53? In Isaiah 53, it talks about what is going to happen to Jesus. And I'm not going to read all those verses, but just a few parts of it. In verse 3 of Isaiah 53, the prophet writes, "He is despised and rejected." And his mother had to watch that. "He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. And we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." And we can identify with that because Jesus is still being despised. In verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him and his stripe. And with his stripes we are healed." And then in verse 7, "He was oppressed. He was afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears, he is dumb. He opened not his mouth." He talked to his mother, but he did not complain about the fact that he was hanging on the cross, because he knew that he was anointed to do that. But now if we go back to Luke chapter 2, now as Simeon is talking to his mother, it tells us he took Jesus in his arms, he blessed God, and he says in verse 29, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Then in verse 36, it talks about Anna. In verse 36 of Luke chapter 2, it says, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. So here is a woman called Anna, also in the temple, waiting for Jesus to be brought into the temple. And it tells us that she is a prophetess. She is over 100 years old. She had been married for 7 years. Then she was a widow for 84 years. So altogether, that's 91 years. So when she got married, it doesn't tell us when she got married, but she would be well over 100 years old. And she was waiting in the temple for Jesus to be brought in. But it also tells us that she was a prophetess. And I find it interesting why it calls her that. But what is a prophetess? Well, first of all, it is a prophet who is a woman. But what is a prophet? Well, in the Old Testament, we have prophets that wrote scripture. And I just read from the prophet Isaiah. We have Jeremiah. We have all kinds of prophets in the Old Testament that wrote parts of scripture. Some did and some did not. We have no indication that Anna wrote any scripture. But a prophet is also someone who interprets and teaches the divine will of God, someone who reads the Old Testament writings, interprets them, and teaches them to others. That also is a prophet. So Anna would have studied the Old Testament scriptures and taught it to others. Verse 37, it says she departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. Then verse 38, it says she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She would have read about his birth. So she knew what the significance was of that Mary and Joseph came into the temple. Now, it talks here about redemption. She spoke of him to all those that were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, redemption means the salvation from sin that we receive through our faith in Jesus Christ. So she also knew the significance of this child. She knew who he was, and she knew who Mary and Joseph was because she had studied the scriptures, probably the book of Isaiah. So after she had seen him, she spoke of him to all those that were looking for salvation through Jesus Christ. She spoke to those to whom the promise of salvation had been made. Then in verse 39, it says, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So after they presented him to the Lord in the temple, they went back to Nazareth, and that is where Jesus lived till he was 30 years old. And he came to John the Baptist in the Jordan River to be baptized and to start his ministry. So in closing, let us bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do not have to wait for the coming of the Lord. We thank you that he has been born, that we have the opportunity to celebrate that birth every year. And we thank you that he was anointed to preach the gospel, to heal our broken hearts, to free us from bondage of sin, and that through your Spirit, he will always be with us and guide us and comfort us and give us the hope of eternity. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So in closing, for those that are able, let us kneel in silent prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Again, please take your red books and turn to page 553. Take down my hand, O Father. Take down my hand, O Father, and lead thou me until my journey.
Considering baptism, we in the local ministerial would like to encourage you to attend baptism classes, and that's starting at February 7th at 7:30. It'll be here in the prayer room, and you can contact either myself or Deacon Pete Fraze. And also, we're in need of a few more song leaders for this service, so if you or someone you know is able and willing to serve in this manner, please contact one of the song leaders, or myself. Thank you.
As we have reached the conclusion of our service this morning, and I would like to thank you for being here and joining in our worship, and I will now close with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Der Herr segne euch und behüte euch. Der Herr lasse sein Angesicht leuchten über euch und sei euch gnädig. Der Herr hebe sein Angesicht über euch und gebe euch Frieden. Nun geht im Frieden des Herrn.